Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. Thanks so much for choosing to dial in for this episode. I can't wait for you to hear from Ruth I, who's the HR Manager of Operations at Mastermind. And you will hear within 2 seconds of our chat with Ruth how passionate and engaged she is for the industry she works in and for her role. And the organisation Mastermind, which is a Mackay-based business started by two friends at the back of a ute. Ruth takes us on quite a journey through the chat, talking about the Mastermind way, their company values, really a lot about their geographically spread workforce and how they manage effective communication, and how it supports its people to be proud of the resources industry, particularly the company's large coal footprint. But Ruth also touches on for us her amazing career journey and how she started in resources and energy working in Brazil at Vale. Hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Ruth.
Thank you, Tara. It's really exciting to be here.
Oh, wonderful. Well, can you start us off by telling us about Mastermind? And then, of course, I'm going to ask about you and your background, but if you don't mind getting us started with your organisation.
Sure. Mastermind, we're founded in Mackay back in 1996, so sort of a proud regional organisation. Our workforce is about 900 people, and we're predominantly spread across the Bowen Basin and Mackay in Queensland, and also in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales. We also maintain a simulated underground training facility in the Illawarra as well. So that's our sort of where we're at. And in terms of our capabilities, these span new mine development, mine operation, and all mining support services and products. And in addition, our registered training organisation delivers training and compliance solutions. So that's us in a nutshell. And some of our clients are Anglo-American, BMA, Glencore, Peabody, and more recently, Sojitz.
Fantastic. And I understand that Mastermind was found by two friends. Is that right?
Yep. Two boys at the back of a ute. And we actually still have the photos to prove it. One of them is still on our board, and they are just, you know, salt of the earth men. And we all, you know, are still quite close to the organisation now. And many of our long-term employees call them as mates. And still giggle when they see them wearing a business shirt walking around the office for a board meeting because, you know, that's not what Waddy looks like, for example. So, yeah, that's how we started.
That's such a cool story and such a cool name. And Let's get on to you now. Tell us about your background and what led you to your role as HR Manager of Operations at Mastermind.
Sure. So I studied business in Brisbane, and after graduating, I worked in a youth-run organisation that delivered leadership experiences to uni students through an international internship program. So through that work, I actually landed myself in Brazil as an event manager in São Paulo. Because I studied event management at uni, so that's sort of where I led, which was awesome. And I got to lead a team of 60 people from 30 countries, all volunteers in my mid-20s, and it was just an incredible opportunity to start my career. And running that conference, actually, the key sponsor was Vale, and who's a tier one global mining company. And the contact that we had for that company tapped me on the shoulder and asked me to join their team in Rio de Janeiro. So I went and spent another 12 months there, and they gave me, I guess, my first footstep into mining. And now I can't imagine working anywhere else, really. So I spent a good number of years with Vale. I was able to spend a year in the Brazil office, transferred back to Australia. Was working with Vale, I met Mastermind as a client. And when I took some time off on maternity leave, Mastermind actually coaxed me back into the workforce. So that's how I landed with Mastermind, which is great.
Such a cool story. I've got to ask about your experience between Brazil HR and Queensland, Australia HR. What were the big differences?
Well, firstly would be working in Portuguese and working in English.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was definitely something to get your head around. It was such an awesome experience because it was a global role. So I got to work with people from all over the world and which was great, but a Brazilian style of work in a really, really big company that was previously government owned, lots of bureaucracy, very slow and very siloed, which is really frustrating for Australians because we love to know what other people are doing and we love to help and get involved. And, you know, I'd go to the communications department and say, hey, you know, just letting you know, Australians, when they get this, you know, we'll perceive it as this, and that'd be a bit shocked sometimes that I would show up and say things. So that was, a really interesting learning curve, and I really loved coming back to Australia and particularly working out on site. So 12 months back in a Brisbane corporate office, then more and more time out on site, and then I loved it and took up a site-based role, and I just love that everyone can get involved. You know, there's too much work and too little people generally, so there's no time for silos. We don't do business with ourselves. Mm. And I love the pace and the get real attitude that we have in our industry.
Yeah, fantastic. And I do want to touch on something you commented on with such a very large group of volunteers in your role with the Global Intern Graduate Program internships. How did managing large groups of volunteers in any way as an event manager prepare you for HR? Because it strikes me that it's a very different type of management experience.
It is. And we struggle, you know, in our industry, we think, oh, you know, trying to motivate a coal miner through a lot of money. And on the flip side, working for not-for-profits, you're trying to motivate volunteers with no money. we have an expression that we use that when someone's been voluntold, so, you know, it appears like they've been volunteered, but they've sort of been talked into it. I'm really good at having people being voluntold. And I think that comes from my experience of getting volunteers to work really hard. So if you can't hear in my voice, I'm quite enthusiastic and motivating in my communication style. And that really comes from working with students and volunteers. So I haven't lost that shine, I guess, even in our industry.
Love it. Love it. And what about some of the opportunities you've had along the way, you know, particularly at Mastermind? What kind of opportunities has your role afforded you to progress your career and influence the business?
I guess being involved in our business planning has been a real highlight. And my boss even let me come back 6 weeks after having a baby. I got to sit in our business planning holding my newborn because I really wanted to be involved and they wanted me to be involved. So that was definitely a career highlight. But, you know, I was also lucky enough to be included in building our 5-year strategic plan and the annual business plan. So, you know, when you're involved in the creation of these and you get to explore all the pre-work, be a part of the strategic debates, you get to see the executive and board members, you know, firsthand nutting out these things. And it's a real gift, you know, to see that expression happen. And when your job's to roll out initiatives on the ground, literally to the coalface, it's a real boost to understand fundamentally the why behind things. And it's much easier to be passionate and driven when your day-to-day efforts are linked to the bigger picture. And I think that's where I get that energy to bring others along on the journey.
Wow, I love that link between energy and passion and strategy. And, you know, do you mind telling us a bit about the culture at Mastermind? You know, what values and the way that the organization goes about doing things that, you know, really shapes the workforce and the company?
Yeah, so our values, we call them our keeps. And they're the master.
Cool.
The Mastermind's way of work, really, and they underpin, you know, our day-to-day decisions and also our business strategy. But essentially at Mastermind, we keep safe, we keep on, keep it real, keep together and keep challenging. So, we're, you know, simple people. So, you know, they're our keeps. And, you know, for example, keep on is, you know, being brave enough to give things a crack and never giving up. Or keep it real is, you know, our culture that's built on a rule of respect and no bull. you know, I think I said before, if you speak to our long-term employees, they'll say that that feel has remained the same over the years, which is really incredible. And, you know, it really, for us with the Mastermind Way, it's how we work and how we play the game that's really important. So we catch people doing the right thing in our company, and having our keeps, you know, makes it easy for all of us to recognize when, you know, someone in our team is high performing for all the right reasons, not just, you know, the obvious safety or production reasons. It's, you know, how they're really contributing as an all-rounder.
Well, I just found that amazing, the example you gave us about returning from mat leave to be able to be involved in the business planning cycle. So Mastermind obviously puts a lot of emphasis and value on people development, of which you're an example of. What are some of the tools and things that you guys have in place to nurture this?
Yeah, we're in the throes of making a lot of progress in this area, which is really exciting because there's a heavy focus in our industry on technical skills and training, which is essential, you know, when you're on the tools, you know, underground. But, you know, really when you talk about broader, you know, career development, it's only 10% of learning. So, you know, if you would ask somebody, how did you get where you are now in your career? The answer is never, I got X ticket, I did a course. You know, the answer is always rooted in something around, you know, I had the opportunity to, you know, I faced a challenge. I had an incredible, you know, leader who stretched me or coached me. So we really looked at that and now focusing on that learning that happens on the job. So we use a simple 70-20-10 rule of thumb for development. So 70% of learning happens on the job and giving things a go and learning from mistakes. 20% happens with others through coaching and feedback, and the 10% that happens in formal training and courses. So that 70-20-10 model has been around for a long time. It's not unique to Mastermind, but we're using it as a way to transform a mindset around learning and leading in our business. Because typically in the past, if I was to have an employee fill out a development plan, only thing that would be written down would be to do a training course, you know, Excel or things like that. So we're really trying to, that's the mindset we're trying to shift and enable our leaders to be able to be a part of that transformation with their people. So we do have a whole lot of tools that we've created in line with that.
It's such a cool approach too, and so simple. But you touched on it before about how the organization's grown, and you also at the beginning gave us a sense of how geographically spread you are. How have you been able to keep your culture and keep that engagement and develop across and reaching everybody that's geographically spread across your business?
It's no easy feat. And, you know, we've got, you know, our workforce is underground for, you know, 12-hour shifts. So we have to get creative. You know, one of our projects, it takes a project manager 2 weeks to catch his 300-strong workforce at the start of shift. So it's, you know, it's intense when we want to communicate messages. But face-to-face communication is still really important to us. And we want to engage with our people firsthand and hear concerns and provide answers and things like that. So over the past 2 years, we've been using video messaging as a way to bridge the divide. I can't say all of our leaders are comfortable in front of a camera yet, but we've definitely gotten much better.
COVID's helped.
Yes, COVID's helped. And we, you know, send messages out via SMS and email, as well as always supporting them through, you know, human delivery on the ground. We also host, we'll be hosting live webinars throughout the year to keep our people up to date and getting them involved in the discussion about how Mastermind's doing and where we're going, because we're pretty passionate about bringing people along that journey. So we want them to know where we're going and the role that they can play. You know, when we finished our business plan, we rolled it out through a major SMS campaign with videos for each of the pillars, as well as having those on the ground communication sessions about it. So, you know, we just want to make sure that when we do these things, we do them well and do it over a course of time that gives people an opportunity to get involved and to understand more about the business. You know, we also find these things, you know, not just keep our people up to date, but drives those conversations with families around the dinner table and, you know, supports that, you know, around the Barbie chat with mates around what Mastermind's doing.
On that note, Mastermind got quite the footprint in coal, and we know that coal as an industry, you know, comes under attack and can attract a level of negativity. How do you as an employer support your employees to really stand up and be proud of the industry and they work for, and to engage friends and family? You just gave us an example about communicating in a way that enables those conversations at home. But what about in the family and out in the community to foster that pride in who they work for and the industry they're in?
our people, they wear the badge with pride, and that's really important to mastermind. And, you know, you spend time with any coal miner, you know, they are incredibly proud of the industry that they work in and the contribution that's making to their regions. Our people are heavily involved in their communities in the Bowen Basin and the Hunter region, and we truly feel the support for our industry in the areas where we operate. You know, personally, when I'm challenged, like many, you know, others, you just hear people out. You know, we all have concerns about the environment and maintaining, you know, a world for future generations. But, you know, it's not mutually exclusive from working in coal, and we need resources now. And at the same time, we can be exploring options that see growth in other areas in the long term. So Mastermind is looking into areas outside of coal to be working in, but you know, we can still make steps to open that next chapter without abandoning the space that we're working in now. And we're really excited that one day we might, you know, have more options for our people to develop their career, whether it be in a new resource or through new roles that will come, you know, through technology that makes our mines, you know, safer, more productive or more sustainable. So there's a lot of pride here, you know, in our regions where mining exists, and we're not short on pride.
Absolutely. And could we just bottle your response there and make an ad campaign from it, because you just did that so brilliantly. And in fact, that really leads me on to the next topic I want to start with. But I've got a question before that. I want to talk about the brain science project that you've been championing. But I understand from your colleagues that you have been described as a technical expert on positive psychology. Is that a big part of your role?
Well, my colleagues are very generous with their compliments, which must explain why I love working for Mastermind. I'm by no means an expert, but Mastermind did support me to obtain my diploma in positive psychology. And honestly, it's, you know, it's a big part of every leader's role, whether they are aware of it or not. For people that don't know what positive psychology means, is, you know, the traditional field of psychology looks at the deficit, what's wrong with people, you know, mental illness. Positive psychology looks at what's right with people. What can we do to be our best, and how can we help the people we work with thrive? So, you know, having the opportunity to pursue positive psychology, you know, with Mastermind, it was a really important step for me, I guess, in HR, because, you know, typically our roles in this industry are, you know, very much all consumed by, you know, performance management, industrial disputes, enterprise bargaining. I've been through two major downturns with major downsizing, and sometimes it's awesome to turn your brain to everything that's great about humans and how people, you know, can thrive in a workplace. So, yeah, it is a big part of my job, because, you know, positive psychology exists in all the little things that we do. It's not about being happy. It's about using our thoughts and our emotions to get us to a place mentally that we can be our best and perform our best. So it was really, you know, once we started on our brain science project, I quickly wanted to know more and more and more. And this was one of the fields I, you know, that's led me down.
Well, I'm so fascinated, both in the positive psychology and also to hear about the brain science project you champion. Can you tell us about it?
So it really started with safety. We have the best practices and standards out of any heavy industry, right? But people are still being harmed on the job. More of the same was not going to get a different result. So Brain Science Project really is about us seeing if we can make real improvements and change through neuroscience. So, you know, try something different to get a different result.
How many people have participated in the Brain Science Project? How'd you identify them? Did you call for volunteers? How'd you go about doing it?
We've had 120 people go through two separate waves. So the first wave, we had about 45 people, which really included a lot of our senior leadership, our project management teams, and even some of our external partners that provide key services to us. And then the second wave, we had about 90 people. But on that second wave, we re-included a number from the first wave that were really passionate about the program and wanted to deep dive further into learning and wanted to coach others. So that was our two waves. And then with the second wave, we took it right to the front line. So we selected coal miners and support staff who had a drive for personal development, an interest in leadership, or are known for being informal leaders in a crew or team. So we didn't just pick the keen, we picked the challenging as well, because when you're designing programs, we need to design for all types. So it's been a really great learning experience.
So it sounds like you had quite a lot of people that were very interested, but as you say, you got to pick it for all types. So how did you get traction for the project and buy-in from everybody?
I guess like any new initiative, you quickly have the champions, the followers, the reluctant toe-the-liners and the resistors, I guess, as I classify them. So we, you know, you use the champions and their influence to encourage and involve others, and that really helps when it comes from the leadership. We hero our followers and, you know, reward and recognize their awesome efforts as they go through the program. And for the reluctant and the resistant, we, you know, we work through their pain points, empathize, nudge where we can, and, you know, and sometimes we're lucky to have them have a renewed view and approach the program. But, you know, we're learning so much about adult learning, especially with online and social learning and the challenges. So each wave we make changes to be able to grow that impact and, you know, improve ownership.
Apart from the professional and personal development, did you have any really holistic and specific aims for the project when it was first created, or have they evolved?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, as I said, the project was created out of that quest for zero harm, and you know, that's always on our radar. But as we went through the program, we discovered, you know, once you learn about how the brain works and how that drives our actions and behaviors and how we communicate with people, it touches all areas. And so we really have evolved from what was a, you know, a safety project to a large scale leadership program that will impact safety, productivity, you know, retention and well-being.
That's amazing. And how have you applied the neuroscience principles into the kind of coaching and business support, and just touched on a couple of areas where it's going to be influencing in? So how do you see that going further down to personal development, performance discussions, et cetera?
I guess, how do we apply the principles? The principles that we learn, you know, is around that there's certain cognitive needs that we all have, and these needs need to be met through our everyday interactions. So whether it's a conversation, a meeting agenda, EA negotiation, you know, safety stop, start of a shift meeting, all of those things, you know, once you understand the key principles, it's about the people that go through the program, you know, they stand back. They take a look at the interactions and the communications, and there's a lot of head scratching. And then, you know, application of the knowledge that you pick up through the program, and then you make some small changes with the brain and mind. So we are all HR included, you know, myself included, and all program participants. We are learning this together. And it's not one area that's, you know, making change. It's all of us that go through it, learning the principles and adding it into our day-to-day work activities. So it might be, you know, a project coordinator sees that a dynamic in a team isn't right, you know, then he'll take a harder look at what's happening under the surface, nudge a few things and see if a different outcome happens for that crew over the following shifts. So, you know, how we, you know, frame conversations and things like that, that really will help nudge and get those different outcomes.
I just love how you just said how, you know, you're learning it together at the same time. So it's not like one part of the organization is espousing something to the other. You're all on that kind of program of learning and discovery together. And I'm really fascinated to learn any insights that you have around the kind of change you've seen from frontline leaders and managers. You know, have you seen a visible change or really different kind of behavioural changes through the rollout of this program?
Yeah, you definitely see on an individual level, people, you know, really hold a mirror up to themselves. And sometimes
a bit scary, yes.
It's scary, yeah. And with that self-reflection, you see them make changes in their day-to-day work, but you also see them and you hear about them making changes in their day-to-day at home. So, you know, when a worker discovered what it meant to be empathetic, he's like, oh, you know, my wife would come home and tell me about her terrible day, and I've always been really sympathetic. I didn't understand that all she needed me to do was to listen and empathize with her. She didn't. Now I know why she gets angry that I try solve her problems, you know, and you see that change, that realization in someone, whether it's in the workplace or at home, and you go, wow, you know, that's really going to help them in, you know, so many other interactions that they're going to have through their career or their personal life. So, you know, we all of us in the program have a bank of those stories, you know, that's been exchanged through fellow participants. But there's also, I guess, in terms of key behavior changes on the ground, when our program participants, you know, are learning about these things, they do little projects of practice. So in the throes of learning, to make sure it sticks when they hit the ground, they start to apply it to solve some problems or, you know, to make some improvements on site. So, you know, there's a really awesome project that one team created. It's just called a temperature check. So it's a prompt card that had five questions on it that they laminated and would stick in their pocket for when they went underground. And they'd use it to talk to crew members. Questions were designed with a brain in mind. So they, you know, they applied their learnings. And anyone watching this from the outside, you just see a good conversation about how you're doing, you know, how do you think the project's going? Any suggestions that you have that could be followed up on? Hey, thanks for doing this yesterday. You know, you'd see what seems like a normal conversation, but the questions really were structured in a way that it did all the things that we've learnt through neuroscience. So it released
all those needs.
Yeah, but it released serotonin. So, you know, and it released dopamine, and we learn a lot about, you know, the science behind the brain. And it's really awesome to see why when you hit all those right things, you then suddenly have a working relationship that is, you know, is deeper. There's a boost to motivation, that real camaraderie set. And, you know, so it's really great when we see our people design a tool in their own language. Mm-hmm. They set the process, the cadence that they use it, you know, on the ground. And, you know, still have experts check it for accuracy to make sure, you know, we're doing it right, because we've still got our L plates on, essentially. And that's really awesome to see. Or, you know, we've got projects where they've learnt now that when we are masking an emotion, so you've come into work and something's happening at home, or you're really frustrated with something, and but you're still just sort of holding yourself together to get through your shift, or, you know, you're masking an emotion. You know, we learn how that saps our brain power from us being able to perform at our best. So when they have their crew starts now, their shift starts, they have six emojis that they whack up, and they actually ask people how they're feeling and is there an emotion right now that's preventing them from having a safe and productive shift. So it's awesome to see a big group of boys and sometimes ladies starting a shift talking about their feelings. They're not trying to solve anyone's problems. It's not about, you know, solving it. It's just when you label the emotion, you're freeing up the brain power. So, you know, that initiative, again, came out of one of our operational teams, and we use it in so many mastermind. If you got your hands on masterminds meeting agendas, you'd be like, what's with all these emojis across the top?
Oh, really?
There's science behind it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it's really cool to see those changes.
And I'm interested in delving a little bit deeper here, because one of the things our industry has done arguably successfully is take people that are technically excellent and build them into leaders and fill that leadership gap. And sometimes that leaves, you know, managers, supervisors and leaders particularly not comfortable having really difficult conversations. Happy to have a technical conversation, but you've already touched on the emotional, but sometimes it's the difficult or confrontational thing that they need to discuss. How's the program help with that, do you think, in Mastermind?
Yeah, I think Mastermind, our workforce, they're predominantly at the coalface, they're on the tools, and they're embedded into really colourful crews. So we're not dealing with a lot of engineers or those types of technical specialists. We're really dealing with our, you know, hands-on guys on the tools. So to my delight, most of these guys are people watchers. They're often deep reflectors, and I guess our barrier is more around, you know, they'll say things like, I just want to get on with the job, or I'm too busy for this touchy-feely stuff, you know, and that's a barrier. But deep down, most of them have an interest in positive working relationships. They're passionate about keeping safe, and many of them want to be in a high-performing crew. So you just need to tap into that. And, you know, I guess another key thing that we found with that shift or getting people on the bus really is it's led from the top. So true and genuine participation from, you know, the managing director, executive and project team leaders really counts. You know, that adage, you know, what interests my boss fascinates me, that helps with traction. But then, you know, to really make the learning, I guess, sit with people and they can make meaning with it is them sort of realizing what benefit it can bring to them or to their crew or at home. You know, as I mentioned before, I love it when they realize it has an impact on their families.
Yeah, totally applicable in every area of life. And what about what's next with the program? You're on this program, you're on this journey, learning together. Have you got aspirations of where you want to go with it, or is it far more organic? You know, what's next?
It's organic. It is 1 year at a time. We jumped in all in, you know, with the executive and board, you know, committing straight up that this is at least a 5-year program. And we're, you know, 2 and a bit years in. So we really are learning wave after wave, making tweaks, trying to get coal miners to find time to learn either, you know, how we make that happen on shift or how people do it outside of shift, because we've got, you know, all sorts of rosters across the various sites that we work in. So we really are just trying to tackle the challenges that we have with our work groups. But really we want to keep people engaged in the program by understanding that, you know, if they come along and they learn a little bit about how humans work, how they work, how they, their workmates work, and with a few sort of tweaks that they want to do for their own personal reasons, it'll contribute to better working relationships, more productive shifts, safer shifts. You know, we just want to keep people, I guess, really seeing that it's not a lot of work and we're not trying to do really crazy out there off the wall things. It's just tampering with, you know, human behavior in a really, in a way that just actually makes good sense, you know. So I guess, you know, we just want to keep on keeping on with that and but keep learning about how we could be doing this better, you know, because we're definitely still adult learning is a hairy beast. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I love then, I don't know if you know if you did it purposely, but your link to Keeps just then saying keeping on. I absolutely love that. And I guess that brings me, Ruth, to ask you, you know, what's next for Mastermind? What's next for your journey with Mastermind? Any ideas or insights you can share with us?
Well, for me, is just keep embedding this learning mindset. You know, we're at the start of a journey, or, you know, and, you know, really wanting people to know how to develop themselves at Mastermind. So we're rolling out new frontline leadership programs and, you know, future waves of the brain science program. But I guess for Mastermind, I'm actually currently on site in Emerald, where Mastermind has been appointed a mine operator for the first time. So this is a huge milestone for us and really exciting time. So I'm on
the
Yeah, so on the ground, we're working towards running our first whole of mine, and I'm excited to be working with a production team who are willing to brain science the heck out of this project. So to start something with all of, you know, the tweaks and the polish that we want to, you know, that we've learnt through our brain science journey is a really exciting opportunity, and everyone's behind it. So I guess that's what's on the cards for us.
Sounds like an exciting journey. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, Ruth. I don't think I've ever spoken to a positive psychologist before. So first for me, thank you so much, Ruth, for joining us on Resource People podcast today.
Lovely. Thank you, Tara. It's been a great opportunity.
Such an energizing and enjoyable episode and having a chat with Ruth. Really hope you got a lot out of it. I'm Tara Diamond. Thanks so much for listening to Resource People Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.